Aloha and welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience The Good Life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-hosts, Leslie Silva and Martin Arinaga. Welcome to The Good Life. We are here to help unleash your God-given purpose. According to Custodial Mothers and Fathers and their Child Support 2007, released by the U.S. Census Bureau in November of 2009, there are approximately 13.7 million single parents in the United States today. And those parents are responsible for raising 21.8 million children. Approximately 26% of children under 21 in the United States today. However, the majority of individuals raising children alone started out in committed relationships and never experienced or never expected to be single parents. What does it mean and what is it like to be a single parent? I think about the words of Paul Tillich, who wrote, "Language has created the word loneliness to express the pain of being alone. And it has caused the word solitude to express the glory of being alone." As usual, we pause to remind you, even where you are right now, if you are a single parent right now, or someone who knows a single parent, or someone who has been the child of a single parent family, or is a friend or relative of someone, that you can be filled with renewed hope at this very moment, because of the show that we have for you today, the program that we have. It's not a show, it's a program, just to share heart to heart with my co-hosts, Leslie Silva and Martin Arinaga. What do single parents struggle with that others may not realize? How do you know the time is right to establish or attempt to establish a new romantic relationship? How can one person carry the financial burden of raising a family in the middle of the Great Recession? How do you deal with feelings of guilt? What are practical ways of keeping emotionally stable when things just seem out of control? Leslie, Martin, let's just get into this. Leslie, share with us some of your background on being a single parent.
Single parent, yes. Danny, like you said, it wasn't something that you expect or plan for. I came from a two-parent family, and when I got married, I just thought, you know, it'll be both of us, and we'd have a traditional marriage, traditional family, two-parent family. But when my son, we were married for 12 years before we had our son, so we were married for a while, my husband Gil and I. And when Lance had just turned 3 years old, our son, our only son, my husband passed away. He took his life. And so right then, in a split second, I became a single parent, and it was overwhelming. Like you said, there's no way to prepare for it. There's no dress rehearsal. I never dreamt that would be. and it's thrust into it, and you have a child that everything's changed. But in their world, you know, it's for you. I mean, for me, I was just rocketed. It just rocked my world. Mm-hmm. I was just overwhelmed.
I think one of the things, yes. Danny, you said about single parenting is that it's never expected.
Yes.
And in my case, that's true, as in Leslie's too. I'm beginning to learn a little bit more about Leslie too. But like you, it was 2 years ago that my wife passed away from a multiple stroke. And I think I have a new sympathy. My lesson for today, Danny, is when I run into single parents, that they weren't expecting to be single parents. Mm-hmm. And thus our role might be to say, acknowledge that first and do what we can to assist.
Exactly. And, you know, like for us, it was death came to single parenthood by death. For many others, there's death in a relationship as well when there's divorce. And even then, no one ever plans for that. You know, no one expects that. And instantaneously, you're in a whole new role. Being a single parent.
In fact, when I find myself as a, you know, when my wife passed away, Pam, what I tell my friends all the time, I was all of a sudden thrusted into a world with new titles. Single, bachelor, unmarried. And, you know, when you fill out medical forms, they have, you know, married, single, and widow.
Widowed.
They don't have a box for widower.
Widower.
So I just got accustomed to checking. But I think the single parent is one of these titles that comes at you, and you don't really realize until you realize, wait, I'm a single parent. I am the last line of defense for my child against the world.
No.
And you start thinking all these things.
Yes, exactly. What? It's such a burden that you feel. And for me, you know, Danny, when you were talking earlier, introducing the segment, you talked about guilt, you talked about loneliness. You talked about, well, you didn't say that, but fear. For me, fear was huge because I felt, Martin, like that burden. I am it. I'm between this
Lord,
mean
I wanna
world
go, but
to
not
my
yet.
Son.
Yeah, and please don't take me.
And we were talking about that just before the show. You and I were talking about how, you know, when you have young children and, you know, your spouse is gone for some reason and you think, God, don't let anything happen to me. This child cannot handle another loss. And, you know, that's so out of your control. I realized that I don't have a say in when I go. I was at, I mean, being a control person, you know, I got even more fearful, more controlling, and then I realized I have no control over that.
And your son is how old now?
My son is 24. He's going to be 25.
Still feeling this.
Yeah. And I still feel it. You know, he's a young adult now, but, you know, he's finding his way in the world. But like we said, we're laughing that you never stop being a parent.
Right.
I used to always think when he starts walking, life's going to get easier. It doesn't. You know, when they can speak more clearly and understand what they want, it'll be easier. It's not. When they're 18, it's going to be, wow, I can cut loose. I have some of my life.
Well,
right?
It gets worse at 18.
Yeah, it gets worse. And you come with different things you have to deal with. 21's right. Another one. And you know what I realized, finally I realized? I said, it never ends. And I, you know, in a way, I'm glad God didn't show me that at the beginning, because you think about how the awesome responsibility. Yeah. I will be 90 years old, if God willing, I live that long, and I'll be worrying about my 60-year-old son. Or, you know, it never ends.
You know, one of my favorite quotes is a quote by C.S. Lewis, who said, friendships begin when one person says to another, what? You too? I thought I was the only one.
Yes.
And today, somebody is just listening and they're thinking, she understands what I feel.
Yes.
He knows what I'm going through. Some things go beyond what words can express and even beyond relatability, unless it's somebody who's been there, lived it, living through it.
Yeah, and that's why I'm glad we can come here today and talk, because I remember thinking I was the only one. There was a long, long time when I felt like I was the only one. I mean, I knew there were single parents out there. But you know what? We talk about transparency. People choose to tell you what they want to tell you. And sometimes they only want to tell you all the good things that's going on in the family. And you're sitting here going, then why is my household so dysfunctional? Why does my child do that? Why am I struggling with that? They're not. Why am I? I must be the bad mom. I must have a weird kid.
So how did you how did you work through that? Or shall I say, how did you survive that kind of personal assault upon your own self, you know?
It's just the grace of God, I have to say, not me, because I just became more controlling. I became more perfectionistic. And I just tried to mold him. I look back now and I feel really bad sometimes for some of the choices that I made because they were fear-based and feeling like, you know, I got to fix him and I have to make him a certain way. And even for myself, you know, I have to be a better mom. How do I be a better mom? So there's a lot of guilt. It's just the grace of God that we got through. I look back, honestly, you know, if I didn't have God, I think that would be, it would be difficult. It was just the fact that I had God, but yielding to him was not an overnight thing too, because it was still too scary.
I think one of the things I miss, I think my wife was more like you, where she wanted to have the best for our daughter. And she really was very on it as far as homework and quite a, you know, she was a disciplinarian in our homes, but to have someone to be able to punt to, if you want to call it, was nice. And all of a sudden I realized, no, I can't do that anymore.
That's right.
Or if I do, I have to be very, very careful. And I really haven't done any punting yet. And I don't know if I intend to in the real short term. Maybe we never will as parents. You never really do. You kind of hand the ball and you kind of keep a side eye on the runner.
Yeah. And it is, you know, my son used to tell me we're so alike, he and I. And that's part of the problem. So we're bucking all the time. And then one day he came out and I thought, the audacity of this child. You know, he comes out, he tells me, you think it's easy being, you know, your child, the only one here? I don't have anybody to go to. I don't have a dad that I can go talk to you, talk to him about you. And I'm like,
he gave you your mother's speech
and,
back.
And I came right back. No, he had a way of bringing me down to his level instead of me bringing him up to his. And I went back with, you think it's easy living with you? I don't have a husband I can talk to about you. You know, you drive me crazy and I have no one. I only have you. We're both just like looking at each other. And right in that moment, I had to start laughing because I said, I mean, if you don't laugh, you cry. And I looked at that and I said, here is my son in all earnestness saying that it's hard to be a child of a single parent because he doesn't have the dad to go run to get away from me or to talk sense into me. And here I am feeling sorry for myself. And I did. I played that violin for a long time. I used to feel sorry for myself. I used to feel like, how am I going to get my own needs met? And the loneliness, Danny, that you talk about is a different kind of loneliness as a single parent because you cannot talk to your kids as if they're your spouse. And sometimes there's that temptation to look at your child not as a spouse, but more like an adult. I don't know how to explain that, but sometimes maybe you expect them to be more adult.
A friend, maybe.
A friend, yeah. Closer and you have to be careful about that. I found myself, I never told him, you're the man of the house now. I made a concerted effort not to say that to him when he was growing up because he needs to be a child. I mean, I cannot punt that on him, that responsibility. And I didn't want him to think he had to take care of me. Although that came along naturally later. But that puts the burden on the single mom. And then I'm a mom of a boy. Which was another, you could probably identify as dad of a girl, but I always thought, how can I be a mom of a boy and raise a boy to be a man? That used to be in the back of my mind, too.
You know, Leslie, Martin, you guys just sharing out of your life like the way you are, there's a certain level, maybe even a deep level of therapy that is going on through the airwaves, through the internet waves. Really, through the broadcast, because people are able to say, wow, they understand. And we're not even here to give you the 7-point answer or the 3-point solution. Maybe the whole purpose is just to talk it out. Maybe to just bring the balm of the Lord's comforting hand saying, hey, even though you feel like it's all out of whack, it's going to be okay. Somehow, I'm going to help you through. You're going to get through it. When we come back from our break, we're going to touch on another subject. I'll just bring out the question about relationships. When your spouse is no longer there for whatever reason and you're a single parent, what about romance? What about finding a relationship? When do you do it? How do you know it's time? How do you know that person is the right one? Or do you really ever know? Mm-hmm. And what can come about as a result of that? When we come back from our break, we'll talk more. Now, we're just sort of peeling things slowly, slowly. There's so much. There's so much need. But again, this is not, we're not here just to placate and just say, okay, you apply this medicine and then you're going to get better. Somehow it's a lot bigger than that. Sometimes it's just a matter of survival and sanity. Perhaps the Lord brings about clarity. Maybe just a comforting hand to say, hey, you're not alone. And you're not weird. It's not crazy. When we come back, we'll be back with more from Leslie and Martin. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll leave you all.
One thought, one insight, one lesson can give you a winner's edge. Danny Yamashiro's new book, Winner's Edge, includes over 300 inspirational quotes and insights from his personal collection on leadership, relationships, hope, family, teamwork, love, and much more. Winner's Edge by Danny Yamashiro, available at bookstores throughout Hawaii. And don't forget Paradise Calls, Danny Yamashiro's remarkable story of God's miracle, saving him from falling 400 feet off the Pali Ridge, a story that's brought hope to thousands around the world. Winner's Edge and Paradise Calls by Danny Yamashiro, available in ebook at Amazon Kindle. And listen to Danny Yamashiro and his featured guests on the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show weekdays on 99.5 KGU FM at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Connect with Danny on Facebook and Twitter and find out more at DannyYamashiro.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
I must say I am blessed. I'm blessed because I have dear friends like Leslie Silva and Martin Arinaga. And they have giant hearts of love and compassion and open hearts of sharing. And one of the things they do as my co-hosts, and they've done it over a pretty extended period of time. You know, we get correspondence that come, people email us, they go to the website and they communicate, and they are just fabulous in the way they communicate and connect with people, praying for people, bringing encouragement to others. And even as you're listening to this show today, you might be thinking, gosh, I just want to express myself. I want to say thanks. I want to, you know, maybe I got a question or I need some encouragement. Just send us an email. We love to hear from you. You can contact me via Facebook or at danny@thegoodlifehawaii.org. And by doing that, we're able to stay in touch with you and also minister that way. You might be listening right now. You're listening to the goodlifehawaii.org. You're listening to the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-hosts, Leslie Silva and Martin Arinaga. We're talking about a very sensitive but very important subject on being a single parent. Millions and millions of single parents today, 13.7 million single parents in the United States today, parenting 21.8 million children. That's 26% of the children under 21 in the United States today. Before our break, we're bringing up the whole issue of what about romance after a spouse has either passed on. Martin, you even mentioned about divorce taking place in the family, and here's the child. When is it the right time? What are some of your thoughts?
Well, when is it? I don't know, Danny. I hope it is now because it's happening in my life. I think you know, finding yourself single in a way is a new world, but it's not really new because I was single at some point in time. But after 20 years of marriage, you get very comfortable in a relationship. One of the challenges I am having right now is your question, when do you go into a new relationship? How do you do it? I just have to share that I knew when my wife passed away, the feeling of loneliness that you talked about, I could not have remained single. I'm not built to be a single, but I said, you know, Lord, it's up to you. You know best. I am grateful that someone is in my life, and we've been dating for just under a year, but close to a year.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, you know, it's working quite well, but prior to this relationship, I was just kind of hanging out with some of the lady friends I knew, some of them, you know, single, married. But one in particular, we went to the gym together and we're to have lunch. And I mentioned to her, I says, you know, tell you what, before we go lunch, I need to just pick up my daughter for, you know, to go lunch. And she stopped me and she was very wise. She said, Martin, did you talk to her about me? I go, what do you mean? Well, did you talk to your daughter about the fact that you're seeing other women now? I go, no. Now, she politely bowed out. And to her, she's listening. Thank you very much. That was one of the things that you don't think about that allowed me to sit down with my daughter and have a really good conversation about where I was at. And my hopes that I would be able to meet somebody. And then I asked her, what, you know, how will you know if it's the right person? And she gave me a short list of what it was. And I think that, you know, being able to communicate with my daughter, who was 20 at the time, about who would you be happy with me marrying as your new, I guess, what, stepmother, right?
Mm-hmm.
All these titles, I have to get used to this. But I think as far as going into a new relationship, I think God knows best. But if as a single parent, I think it is imperative that you have a discussion with your children about, even preferably before you have a relationship about, what are you looking, what would you be okay? What are must-haves and what are the deal killers? Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things my daughter told me was she must be kind to me. And pretty straightforward, but you know, for her, that was important.
Well, and this is a situation where she is able to express that. Some people, their kids are so young, they don't even have them, maybe a certain mm-hmm. level of emotional maturity to be able to express that. And yet right. people have to make
because
that
decision. Because they haven't had experience with their own relationships. So I think it was easier for me because she could communicate. I don't think she knew a lot about law, you know, marriage, she has no clue. But you're right, Daniel, that having the ability to communicate thoughts and feelings is so important. But you got to, if your child is old enough, elementary is, to me, old enough, at least understanding it's coming from the perspective of a 10-year-old. Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, to have this discussion, I think it'll be a load off, and you can make sure to do the right thing for your child.
Now, when did you know, or did you always know, that you weren't meant to be single?
Well, I think that, you know, it was
especially after after Pam's passing?
I think after the initial just being knocked off your feet, flat on your back, you know, nothing that was constant is there. Maybe 6-8 months, something. It's just a slow feeling that you get. And I'm not sure that not being single would have been a solution, but I just knew I did not like the loneliness. I did not like the having to do this all by yourself. You know, that feeling was just, it wasn't a good place to be. And I knew that one thing that changed dramatically was having a partner that really we could talk and bounce things off of. And Leslie talked about that too, just, you know, being able to have someone to just chat and communicate and ask.
You know, when you look at the future and how things go about in life, what about some of the fears? Did you experience fear? I know Leslie had mentioned about certain fears that she had as a single mom. Now, it's a different time in life. I mean, you were like, you know, your daughter was older. Mm-hmm. Leslie's son was 3 years old. What kind of things did you concern yourself with at that time?
I think the number one fear, and Leslie, you talked about it too, is that, you know, as a single parent, I am the line of defense. Everything that she is going to learn as far as life, I won't take full responsibility, and I cannot. But if something happened, if I were to die, that's my biggest fear. Is although my daughter right now is 21, she just made 21, legal adult, but that's about it as far as being able to, you know, take on the world and manage herself. It does concern me. I think that for me is right now my single biggest concern.
I sometimes wonder about, from a female standpoint and a male standpoint, you know, as a men have a certain way about them. But what about a woman and a woman's needs when it comes to a romantic relationship? What are single women looking for? What are their needs that need to be met?
Okay. Wow. Prepare for that one. I think there's a lot. You know, one thing I wanted to share, maybe a little caveat, but it's kind of in the same thing, is just something to be aware of. I think a lot of times women, and I'm not no exception, will look to a relationship as a way of meeting a need, making yourself feel, have some kind of identity, and meeting a need. And a single parent especially, you know, for me I can speak to this, is that it was so easy to sometimes mistake getting involved in a relationship, almost fooling yourself into thinking that it's for the right reason when it really could be for the wrong reason. because you feel so alone, you feel so responsible financially in many other ways, and having that male figure for your child, you know, that I think it's so easy to convince yourself that you're dating for the right reason, that you're falling for someone for the right reason. You see what you want to see, in other words. And that isn't always the best reason to get involved, and definitely to get married and to bring someone into your life and into your child's life. But I think a lot of women, they don't know, or they may not be aware of what is happening. So adding that in there, it becomes more of a challenge. And I know at the beginning it was hard. I had to go through that too, and realizing that.
I wonder if it's harder for women more so than men. Again, I guess from my perspective, the importance of needing to find, like for me, that woman figure, but for you, the man figure.
Yeah, to finding the male.
The model.
Yeah, the model, you know, for your child, but also to fill your own need, you know, so for women, I can speak for women, you know, there's that going on, that dynamic going on as well, that there needs to be some caution, I think, and some awareness to really think through why are you dating? Why are you looking for a relationship? What is the motivation? The loneliness can be so severe mm-hmm. in a single parent family because you have no one to talk to about issues, you know, where normally you'd have a husband to speak to. There's no one there. And even if you have family and friends, it's not quite the same. You know, in the middle of the night, you don't have somebody lying next to you who has the same vested interest in this child.
You know, I'd like for you, Les, to share how, just what you just explained, mm-hmm. how you worked through that, those moments of loneliness.
Yeah.
You know, were there relationships that you had or almost had? When we come back from our break, we'll go deeper. And Leslie, you know, I think it would be so helpful to hear your perspective on that mm-hmm. and how you made it all this time. Mm-hmm. But how did you find discernment? You know, and mm-hmm. how did you develop a sense of, not just a conviction, but how did you work it out emotionally to be okay mm-hmm. with how God was leading you?
Mm-hmm.
When we come back from our break, we're going to hear more. And not only that, not only about romantic relationships or just kind of companionship,
yes.
but what about carrying a financial burden? Especially living in a place like Hawaii, you know? Two people need to work oftentimes just to make ends meet. How about raising a child, raising children, raising a family? Just one person. When we come back, we'll talk about that with Leslie Silva and Martin Arenaga. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, namelessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
I knew when you said the women's perspective, I said...
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how much the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. A big mahalo to Waiawa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, A1A electrician Tony Lathrop Lee of State Farm Mililani, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arenaga Financial Group Incorporated, Armor of Truth, Commercial Roofing and Waterproofing Incorporated, LNS Enterprises Marine Consultants, and Quilopo Painting Incorporated. To learn more about our corporate sponsors or to find out how to become one, visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 FM KGU. Weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, connecting your family and friends to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
A healthy smile can make all the difference. But where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Waiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Waiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
It can come as a result of a spouse's passing. It can come as a result of a divorce. And although you wouldn't necessarily call it single parent, the whole form of it, let's say even from a military perspective, a spouse being deployed for an extended period of time, there is that the marriage is still intact. That I mean, there's a whole another layer of stability that exists invisibly from one standpoint, so to speak. But the experience, the feeling of still being alone is still there. There are different dynamics that come along with all of this. We're talking about being a single parent. I'm here with Leslie Silva and Martin Arenaga. And as you listen to the show, this is a Good Life Hawaii radio show. I'm Danny Yamashiro. As you listen, you might be thinking, gosh, this is a hot subject. It's certainly relatable to me. It's relatable to my uncle or my auntie or my friend. Can I get the rest of the show or can I pass it on? Our shows are now downloadable at thegoodlifehawaii.org and you can hear the rest of it or the show in its entirety at thegoodlifehawaii.org. Send it as a link to a family member or a friend. It'll certainly be a blessing to them. If not anything, just someone that they can relate with as Leslie and Martin share from their hearts. Leslie, during our break, you were talking about, you know, taking your son when he was a little boy, taking him to school,
yes,
and him running to, you know, a father was kind of roughhousing with, yes, with his own son, and your son would run and want to jump in and want to be a part of that. Mm-hmm. And you said some of the fathers were very gracious, mm-hmm, in doing that. But how did that make you feel?
You feel helpless because, like we're saying, there's only some things a mom can do with a son. And some things that a dad can do especially well with a son. And, you know, children, my son was only three at, mm-hmm, that time. It was preschool. They just know that. They just get drawn to that masculine role model. And I could see that with Lance, you know, and we'd be waiting outside for the doors to open. And there were some of these dads that would bring their kids, their sons to school. And I would bring Lance and Lance would see them kind of roughhousing, and he'd run over there and grab onto that dad's leg and try to get himself in there. And, mm-hmm, and you know, I just praise God that, you know, God used those wonderful dads, and they knew, mm-hmm, the situation, mm-hmm, and they pick him up and they play with him too.
Mm-hmm.
And all along the way, I mean, we've been blessed that God has put wonderful male presence and role models into my son's life.
Let's, before our, yes, break, we were, you know, in relation to that too, we're talking, mm-hmm, about male presence in your son's life.
Mm-hmm.
But how did you know? I mean, did you have a relationships with others along the way that you as you were searching to find that companionship, that, mm-hmm, bond? What was, mm-hmm, what was your situation like?
You know, basically, I would say in the 20 some odd years, there might have been just one semi-significant relationship, but it never got to, it was only less than a year. And that was the only one that I actually introduced my son to. And he was about sixth grade at that time. And prior to that, no. But I have to say, I'm grateful because I wasn't in an emotional or spiritual place to have had a healthy relationship. You know how I spoke earlier about mismatch needs, you know, wanting the wrong thing. I always wanted to have a dad for my son. I always thought I would remarry, but I realized that I was going after the wrong things, and it was really a lot of times to fill my own needs or fill a void that I thought having somebody there could do. And I'm grateful that God didn't allow that to happen. So relationships never really took root. I never allowed them to come into my son's life. And it got to a point where my son actually told me at one point, you know what, Mom? I don't need a dad. You know, you and I, we're cool. I don't need a dad. Mm-hmm. And at that point, I knew that I would have to be even more careful because he's more or less telling me that we're okay as we are. And, you know, I have to remember, too, and I didn't think about it, I look back in hindsight, is that he's so vulnerable, too. I was all he had. I was all he had. And they somehow can sense, you know, if there's another person coming in, there's a threat. I think there's a sense of feeling threatened that mom's going to be taken away, and especially if there might be other children involved with that other person, then there's this, I have to fight for mom's attention.
Mm.
You know, I think Lance felt that, because for him to tell me, you know, we're okay. It's just, you know, I'm okay with, you know, we're fine. I don't need a dad anymore. He was about 11 at that point. And I started to really think carefully about what I'm going to allow in. What is my son going to see? I made it a choice that he's not going to see a revolving door of gentlemen coming in and out of our lives. And God didn't allow that. So for the most part, there was no one. And haven't really crossed that one with him yet because there hasn't really been anybody significant.
You don't wonder because you just mentioned it was actually almost close to a year before any man you had introduced. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, I've heard other people say, I'd rather introduce my children early on so that they know that my world and they need to be able to know right up front before I invest too much time into this if it's going to work or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard that too. And, you know, there's that school of thought. It's just like before you get married, some people say, hey, we have to live together, you know, to kind of see how we're going to get along, that type of thing. But I think we have to remember that the children too, you know, as a single parent, I always felt that responsibility that as lonely as I was, as much as I wanted to have companionship, my needs being met, I also had to consider his and what it would mean to bring someone into our realm.
Now, we live in a world where hindsight is 20/20. We look back and, you know, let's face it, you know, we pull the trigger sometimes and we engage in some relationship, we engage in some activity, and then we realize, you know what, got to reset, you know, shouldn't have done that, or maybe I would have done it differently. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe someone has engaged in that, and they're feeling, okay, this is not quite right. I see the effect on my child. What would you say to somebody like that? Is there something that they can do or undo, or how to navigate through those quote unquote misappropriations of our time, our energy, of our resources that take place that we single parents do it all the time. People do it all the time. Mm-hmm. So can we still move on? Can there still be health?
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I think most definitely. If you find yourself in a situation like that now where you're having even a little bit of doubt, it's always good to step back. And you're not stuck there. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, you can always have choices. I think for me, it was important that the relationship that needed to be strengthened in my life was the relationship with God. That's really what it all came down to. And that is really the answer to everything that I faced and the loneliness, the fear, was that relationship with God. But I was very stubborn. I was reaching out this way all the time, mm-hmm. you know, because it was easier to touch what you see. It's, you know, what you see is more real to you than what you don't see. And I was stubborn, and I went a number of years like that, reaching out, looking for help that way. But really, it came down to God and me. And I had to learn the hard way. You know, I really had to come to my knees to find out that God wanted me. He wanted my heart. And that's what I needed to calibrate back to, is a relationship with God. Mm-hmm. And that's when things started to get better. Not before that, but after that. But it was a process. It wasn't instantaneous, and all of a sudden you become the bomb single mom, you know, everything. But it definitely got better, and you're on firmer foundation when you're with God. Because he never disappoints. You know, with him, you can do all things. And even as a single mom, that was not, God didn't get caught unaware with that happening to me. Just like he isn't unaware of it happening to you. He knows. And he's equipped you to be that mom and that dad. But you have to do it with him. You can't do it on your own power. And you can't do it with some date or anybody else. It has to be through God's power, but he enables you. Are able to be that mom and that dad. You are.
Did you, when you were going to meeting, you know, learning more about God, did you take your son with you to church? And what kind of a role did the church body you know, your brothers and sisters of the Spirit.
Yes, yes.
How important were that, was that group of people in your
That's important. That was important, you know. But it was funny, I'm laughing when you say that, because when I took lads to church, we used to go to New Hope at Farrington, and he used to come with me. And when I think back, we'd 5-6 years we did this, you know, the 7 o'clock service. I don't know how we did that, but we had to get up early and drive into town. He would come in, he would sit with for a little while, and then he'd take off. And then he'd go outside and work the ministries. He would get to know everybody outside in the coffee wagon, the shave ice stand. But, you know, I really do believe God touched my son. He may not have sat in the auditorium and listened to Pastor Wayne, but for those 5 or 6 years, God reached him as he ran around, mingling with the brothers and sisters outside, getting to know them. And I came out and I would work in the coffee ministry. And he'd be running all over the place. And people were wonderful. Oh, Lance, come, you can help with the shave ice. And he's so proud, you know, do this. So that was church for us. You know, he didn't really want to go to the Sunday school. He wanted to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, okay, you know, we'll do that. And in little ways like that, God's hand can work. You know, I think it's the parent is just bringing the environment, bringing the child into that environment. And God can work in so many ways, you know.
And I would imagine that. Many people took the opportunity, or maybe consciously or not, were giving, were dripping on him.
Yes.
These little life lessons that he could probably
exactly
take with him.
That's exactly true. So, you know, it's not orthodox. It's not what you think, you know, how God can work. But God can take something like that and still instill the seeds that were sown into him by these people in a very non-traditional way. I really do believe that happens.
I think with what is being shared, the Lord is pushing out, creating a greater level of elasticity within our own hearts to people who, or for people who are single parents. The body of Christ, now of course when we talk about many denominations, many traditions, but one in Christ, firm in the Word of God. But the application of the Word of God, specifically in relation to single-parent families, the body of Christ needs to expand its heart of outreach and embrace.
Yes.
And it has to work itself out in more ways than just saying good things, but levels of consistency, the dripping. I like that term that you use, just slow drippings of God's grace and mercy. And, you know, sometimes there are things that don't sort of fit, you know, he's not in Sunday school for whatever reason. And maybe someone doesn't want to have to explain why not, you know, I mean, it's all, each situation is its own situation, but elasticity, spiritual, applicational elasticity needs to take place in the body of Christ, and our hearts need to expand for the love of Christ to be experienced in the life of a single mom, a single dad, and his child or children or that family. Let the grace of God pour out. When we come back from our break, we'll talk more about, well, we didn't even get into the Great Recession and how does one person handle things financially? How do you put things together? But we'll do that when we come back from our break. Martin Arenaga is here. He's a part of it is his, that's his thing. You know, he lives in the financial world, but he's also a single dad recently. Leslie Silva. Gosh, they're speaking out of experience. This is not something that they're making up. It's out of life. And life has all kinds of misshapes that we try to put together in the puzzle. Sometimes it doesn't fit. It really doesn't fit sometimes. But somehow with God's grace, He puts it all together. Stay with us. We'll be back with much more.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me. I'll lead you home.
You guys are, that's the
one thought. One insight, one lesson can give you a winner's edge.
Danny Yamashiro's new book, Winner's Edge, includes over 300 inspirational quotes and insights from his personal collection on leadership, relationships, hope, family, teamwork, love, and much more. Winner's Edge by Danny Yamashiro, available at bookstores throughout Hawaii. And don't forget Paradise Calls, Danny Yamashiro's remarkable story of God's miracle, saving him from falling 400 feet off the Pali Ridge, a story that's brought hope to thousands around the world. Winner's Edge and Paradise Calls by Danny Yamashiro, available in ebook at Amazon Kindle. And listen to Danny Yamashiro and his featured guests on the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show weekdays on 99.5 KGU FM at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Connect with Danny on Facebook and Twitter and find out more at DannyYamashiro.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org. To The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
A tender subject, a sensitive subject indeed. It's the subject of single parents and single parent families. Gosh, it's all around the United States. It's right here in our state. It's in your life. You know, someone that you know, a family member, a friend, maybe yourself. You're a single parent right now, or the child of a single parent. We're touching on something that is very much needed. We need to talk about certain things a lot more in life, and somehow in God's amazing way, there's a strength, there's a healing, there's a therapy in just talking about it.
One of the issues that does come up is this area of finance, and that's the field I work in. And I'm going to give this one to you, Leslie, to kind of reflect on. But before I go there, I just want to share that as a single parent, I can just imagine, or maybe I can't imagine, the amount of pressure there is to make sure things happen. It's tough enough with two household incomes. And a part-time job on top. But as a single parent, how does it work? For myself, Danny and Leslie, I've been not the only, but the primary wage earner in our household. So when my daughter Alex was in elementary school, my wife actually was able to be a stay-at-home mom. She says, I don't want to come home and my babysitter tell me about how my daughter took her first steps. I want to be there. Says, okay, so we did that for a while, and then when she went into elementary school, then she went back to work. So it's been quite fortunate for me. But again, Leslie, you know, as a single working mom, I mean, what are some of the challenges, and how were you able to overcome some of those issues?
One of the big ones is the guilt that you can't always be there for those moments that you want to be, especially as a mom. Because you know that you're fiscally responsible for your household and for your child. So working and balancing the time spent, the few hours you have, those golden hours between the time you have to pick them up after school, care, and getting the homework done, getting them to bed, you have that precious few hours to be with them. Also, too, you know, with the finances, it was hard because, you know, when they grow up, they see what their friends are getting, all the newest gadgets and whatnot. And the kids, they just saying, oh, how come I can't get that too? And so sometimes it was hard, you know, being able to explain, you know, why you have to choose between two things. You can't get both. Being able to explain. But one of the things I remembered telling my son and trying to instill in him is that as hard as it is for us sometimes and for you, there are others who are far worse off. And trying to give him an understanding that it goes beyond his own little world. Because, you know, we get stuck in our own little world. We just see what we're going through and it's just huge. But to look beyond, to see that there is somebody else out there that is struggling even harder than we are, who has far less than what you have, you know. So I try to keep that in his mind. And without saying no too much, you know what you can say yes to, even if it's small, is being able to help them to understand that, you know, you might not be able to get everything. It might not be the biggest and the shiniest, but I can get what I can, and you make do with that. And it sounds easy, but it's not, because, you know, he wasn't always very happy with that answer.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you just have to find ways to, you know, when you shop, you know, there's sacrifices for yourself, too. You know, you want to buy something for yourself nice and shiny, and you make those sacrifices. But it's you do the best that you can. And I think the guilt is the hardest part, because you want to give them everything mm-hmm. that everyone else has. You know, so that's always a struggle. That's always a struggle. I don't know if there's a total answer for that, you know.
Well, one of the things that we always try and do in our financial planning is mm-hmm. rule number one, make sure you have more money coming in than going
mm-hmm.
out.
Mm-hmm.
And be able to, rule number two, distinguish between wants and needs.
Mm-hmm.
As simple as that sounds, I mean, there's a lot of pressure. It's hard to get by, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, just look at the rental rates here in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
And that's 3/4 of your paycheck right there. So mm-hmm. it's very, very difficult to do.
Mm-hmm.
But nonetheless, I think one of the lessons maybe you've been able to instill on your son is, maybe by modeling
mm-hmm.
and by sharing some of these thoughts that,
mm-hmm.
you know, how do you say to your son, we don't have the money for that?
Yeah. And then on the other hand, too, is looking at the flip side is what to be grateful for what we have. Because so many times we look at what we don't have and then we feel like we're missing out. But then when you sit and you look at what we have a roof over our head.
Mm-hmm.
We have food on the table. We have a Christmas tree.
And sometimes the things that are most enjoyable cost very little money.
Mm-hmm.
They're free. I remember spending a whole lot of money going out to the mainland and enjoying ourselves and
mm-hmm.
doing all these, you know, parks. And at the end of the trip, I said, okay, Alex, what did you enjoy the most about this trip? She said, I thought it was going to be going to the amusement park mm-hmm. and all these food we ate. She goes, jumping in the hay with Natalie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my friend had a barn.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of cut them loose in the yard, and they were, I don't know what they were doing. I guess
mm-hmm.
they were coming from Hawaii. You don't have barn. You don't know what hay is.
Yes.
But that was the most memorable trip. I'm going, you got to be kidding me. I could have done that for free.
Yeah. And Martin, that's really, really good, you know, because I think in today's world, we get caught up in the materialism and keeping up with everybody. And we think that we have to do all that too. When it's not, and I think sometimes we overextend our children, you know, we get them in this sport, that sport, that, and we're all running around, you know, but we forget, like you said, the simple things.
Well, Martin, Leslie, you have been a blessing today, really, to share your heart and to share your life the way you have, to open up. The Lord has used you to really touch the hearts of our dear listeners, listeners whom we love and whom the Lord loves.
Yes.
The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. You've been listening, and you can find out more. You can hear the whole show if you tuned in on the last segment. You want more? TheGoodLifeHawaii.org. That's where you can get the rest of it. You're going to hear more stories like these each day. Invite someone to listen and be inspired. This is the perfect time to share Christ's love with somebody right near you. Visit TheGoodLifeHawaii.org. Psalm 37, 3 and 4 says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. It's always a blessing to be with you. I've been joined today by my co-hosts, Martin Arinaga and Leslie Silva. Until next time, I'm Danny Yamashiro with my technical producer, Chaz Ontai. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.
Just leave it to me. I'll lead you, Lord.
Many times.